Worship, we thank you. As a people, you said, if my people, and we are your people, who are called by your name, and we are called by your name, we come with hearts of gratitude and thanksgiving on behalf of our nation, Nigeria, in spite of all the challenges and difficulties that the nation is even currently going through. We thank you for how you have kept us as a nation. We thank you that Nigeria has not disintegrated. We thank you that in spite of all that is going on, we do lead a quiet and peaceable life. We thank you for keeping Nigeria in peace in spite of the political turmoils, the turmoils of the herdsmen, the turmoils of the killings. Your hand has been upon this nation, and for that we are grateful. We're grateful. We come as a people to thank you. As we share your word, Lord, I pray that you will come and anoint me afresh. You will help me speak as I should, as an oracle of God, Lord, so that the word will go into this land. For you said you sent your word and healed them, and you delivered them from your destruction. Let this word go forth to heal Nigeria and deliver us from our destructions in the name of Jesus. Let this word clean your church, cleansing us from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Help me. Put the same unction on me upon your people, their ears and their hearts. Let the word flow freely from you through me to them. Let, Lord God, us truly arise as a people and shine, and dispel the gross darkness of our land and the nations of the earth in this hour. Father, do a great and eternal work in all of our hearts, causing our wills to be more humble, minds to be more enlightened with the revelation of your present purpose, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Pray that as I speak, let your power be released in great measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released, all over this nation, all over this earth, to cause, Lord God, healing, to cause deliverance, to free your people so that they will be doers of what they hear and not hearers only, so that you will hear from heaven and you will heal our land. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. And all those in agreement, receiving all the blessings mentioned in their individual life, agreed and said,
Amen.
God gave me a prophetic word for Nigeria, and also, it's not only Nigeria really, it's for all the nations of the earth in this hour. And what my wife shared earlier on, make it simple. The word of God is simple. It's complex in its, you know, in the manifold wisdom of God, but overall, it's simple. And then the simplicity, there's simplicity in the complexity. And it takes an overview of revelation to see that. Otherwise, you just get all knotted up in little bits and pieces here and there. God is doing something in our nation and in the nations of the earth. And I've entitled this message, Demonstrating the Powers of the Age to Come. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible speaks of tasting of the powers of the age to come. And as I was praying and preparing, the Lord spoke to me. He said, when you got filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and the attendant gifts of the Spirit. That was a tasting of the powers of the age to come. He said, but what I am bringing now in the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, in which you will partake of the power of the Spirit without measure on a permanent and an abiding basis, you're just not going to taste, you're going to demonstrate the powers of the age to come. So the fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost gives you a taste of the powers of the age to come. The fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles gives us a demonstration, not just a taste, but a demonstration of the powers of the age to come. And the purpose of that demonstration is for the nations of the earth. Nigeria in particular, and the nations of the earth in general, to see the glory of God. And thereby, God will now bring out a crop of disciples out of every tribe, every tongue, and every kindred. The solution to the Nigerian problem and the problems of the nations of the earth, because the problems are not unique to Nigeria. Different nations have different problems in different areas. We have our own peculiar problems. Other nations have different kinds of problems. Problems, political, environmental, all kinds of. The whole earth, as I speak, is reeling from different kinds of challenges. Even the greatest nations in the world, like the United States, UK. UK is grappling with Brexit. The United States is grappling with the sectarian division between the Democrats and the Republicans and all kinds of issues. But God has an answer. Joseph, when he appeared before Pharaoh, he said, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And I say to our Nigeria, to our nation Nigeria, God will give Nigeria an answer of peace in the name of Jesus. And he's going to do it through a Joseph church. A church, like Mommy said, that is called by his name, is his people, that will humble themselves, that will pray, that will seek his face, that will turn from their wicked ways, so that the purpose of God for our nation will be fulfilled, and Nigeria will arise into the fullness of her prophetic destiny. But I have said this many times, and it has not changed. It will not change, because it is, by the mercy and the grace of God, the eternal word of God. The destiny of the nation is intricately twined, interwoven with the destiny of the church. Mommy said it. If the people will do what he says, I will hear and I will heal the land. The land is going to be healed through the people of God. It cannot be healed otherwise. The only way it's going to be healed is through the people of God. And the people of God have to fulfill this present prophetic destiny of the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. Otherwise, all the things, I thank God for the song, the choir song, particularly the last stanza, which was taken out, extracted from Psalm 144, that our sons and our daughters will be like palaces that's polished, you know, they'll be like the similitude of a palace, polished like polished stones, that there will be no complaining in our streets, that, you know, our oxen will be strong to labor. That thing can only happen through a church that is fulfilling the Feast of Tabernacles, demonstrating. The key word there is the word demonstrate, not just tasting. The gifts of the Spirit gave us a taste. That's why we've got occasionally, we see the occasional word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gifts of healings, prophecy, diversities of tongues, interpretations of tongues. And we thank God. We don't despise the small beginnings. We must go beyond tasting to demonstrating. Everybody say demonstrating. The powers of the age to come. through the manifestation of the glory of God, the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is the last of the three feasts of Israel. Just very briefly, every Christian is supposed to, not every Christian does, sadly, but every Christian is supposed to fulfill the three feasts. When you get born again, you fulfill the first feast, which is Passover. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues and its attendant gifts of the Spirit. Tongues is just a key. It's a key that opens a door. It's not an end in itself. It's a new beginning. It gives you access to the power of God, you know, through the praying in tongues. The more you pray in tongues and walk in the Spirit, the more you see the gifts of the Spirit, revelation, knowledge, the healing, prophecy, diversities of tongues. You know, I can tell you from my own personal experience that is a great truth and reality. And even great fathers like Kenneth Hagin and others have written this down. Kenneth Hagin said, the more he spoke in tongues, the more he saw the gifts of the Spirit. The less you speak in tongues, the less you see the gifts of the Spirit. So the gifts of the Spirit are a door to these manifestations of the presence and the power of God. And they give you a taste of the powers of the age to come. But then there's a third feast, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. And this is the one that is obscure to many Christians, not known. It's not very popular. A lot of people are not talking about. Most people know about Passover, of course. And then most people know about Pentecost. In fact, Pentecost, the word Pentecostal is almost universal now. Everybody knows about the Pentecostal and these crazy Christians who speak in tongues. In the Catholic, they call them charismatic. People know about it, but if you ask the average person, tabernacles, they don't know. It's not that it's not there, it's just that because there's ignorance about it, and it has not been taught, it has not been emphasized. Hence this kind of prophetic message. The destiny of Nigeria is tied to the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles in this hour. Because it is only the Feast of Tabernacles that will empower us by the power, the abiding power of the Spirit without measure, to demonstrate that word, the powers of the age to come. In another place, the Apostle Paul, writing about this same thing in another way, but it's the same truth, he says that we may demonstrate unto principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. And so the challenge of this hour, and this is the word the Lord has put into my heart, is to, this is a prophetic word, you know, that is to be fulfilled presently. It's not something that's going to, it's going to be a long time. It's present truth that the Holy Spirit is bringing to the church. And we have to have understanding. When we don't have understanding, we cannot fulfill what we should fulfill. In the early church, after the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected, Jesus understood these things. He couldn't explain all of it to the church. He explained a little bit of it. And then he said, look, I have many things to tell you. He said, but you can't bear them now. He said, but when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all things and he'll lead you into all truth. And then he gave them he gave them some of it, you know, teaching them for 40 days after his resurrection. Things concerning the kingdom. Then he gave them a very important instruction. He said, go and stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He didn't tell them it was going to be the day of Pentecost. He knew, but he didn't tell them. He just said, go and wait, because he knew that the feast of Pentecost had to be fulfilled. He had fulfilled Passover. He fulfilled it on what we call Good Friday. And he was raised from the dead on what we call Easter Sunday, on the resurrection. So, Passover had been fulfilled, and those disciples had partaken of it when he appeared to them on Easter Sunday in the evening. You know, the Bible says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. And they got born again, and then on 50 days later, they now got filled with the Holy Spirit. Fast forward 2,000 years later, and here we are. Just like then, that the Feast of Pentecost was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, we are now expecting, as I speak now, it can even happen today. All the prophetic signs, the prophetic conditions for his fulfillment are in place as I speak. Mommy may not realize this. Even the Good Morning Jesus Forum, that has started is a catalyst. God is by getting a larger number of people praying in the early, in the third watch, the last hour of the third watch every morning, and they're not praying, give me material things primarily. They do that later. But the primary thing is thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. That's the primary focus of that prayer. The fruit of the Spirit, they put on the armor of God, they take the life of God, then they pray in the Spirit, thy kingdom come. And God has been wanting that for a long time. To find a group. You see, God doesn't need a very large number, but he needs she used that word earlier on, a critical mass. It's from physics. I know. It's physics. When you want an atom bomb, you have to have a critical mass of radioactive material like plutonium or uranium. If it's below the critical mass, the chain reaction will not take place and the explosion will not take place. Spiritually, it's the same thing. You must have a critical mass of people. And I believe we have that critical mass. What we must not do is stop the chain reaction. The chain reaction has started. And as it goes on, you know, it goes like that, you know, in the physics, in the natural, it goes, you know, one neutron hits another one, it hits another one, it hits another one. And after a while, there's a great amount of energy that is released and it comes as an explosion. And I expect that explosion any minute now. Hallelujah. Hence this prophetic message. Hence this prophetic message. So now we must understand the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is a little bit different from the first two feasts. The first two feasts were primarily gifts. Salvation, you just pray a simple sinner's prayer and you get born again. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, you pray a simple prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in faith. You know, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, and by faith you raise your voice and the utterance comes and you begin to speak in tongues. And we thank God for that. But this third feast is a little different. It's a gift too, because everything we have is by grace through faith anyway. But there is it has two aspects to it. It's called the Feast of Ingathering for two reasons. You gather in natural Israel, what they used to do was to gather in the fruit. It was the fruit harvest. Israel had three harvests. They had the barley harvest at Passover. They had the wheat harvest at Pentecost. Then they had the fruit harvest at the end of the year. That's when they harvest grapes and make wine. The fruit harvest was different from the wheat harvest and was different from the barley harvest. They correspond to the three different feasts. This end time tabernacles feast is a feast of fruit. So it has two aspects to it in the prophetic understanding. One, you must bring in the fruit of the Spirit in your life. That is why you must gather fruit in your life. It's a condition. It's a condition for the second part. The fruit of the Spirit is the love of God. Let's say it in a simple way. We don't try and not make it complicated. For the feast, to fulfill the Feast of Tabernacles, you must be on the road of perfecting the love of God. You may not yet have perfected, but you must be perfecting. And you bring in the fruit, the harvest of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, all these things we've been teaching you, that we've been practicing the last 10, 15 years. You know, I'm emphasizing them, you know, armor of love, putting on the love of God, then using the blood, the word, and the Spirit to perfect the love of God in your life. It's an essential part of the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, because it is a feast of fruit, firstly. Then the second part of that harvest is the harvest of the nations. So there first of all going to be a harvest of the fruit of the Spirit, which we are doing now. We're fulfilling that one now.
But then the second half of it is the harvest of the nations, as revealed in Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord shall be risen upon thee. Behold, darkness, gross darkness shall cover the nations. It says, nations, kings will come to the brightness of thy rising. Nations is a harvest. And Nigeria is going to be one of the first fruits nations. That's why there is so much contention over this nation in the realm of the spirit. It's amazing. Today, as I'm speaking to you, is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles on the Jewish calendar. Today. The Feast of Tabernacles is an 8-day feast. It started 8 days ago. Today, Sunday, 30th of September, is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. What is tomorrow? October 1. The Independence Day of Nigeria. It's not an accident. There were two times God intervened, of course more than two, but two very significant times God stepped into the affairs of Nigeria. When the amalgamation was formed by Lord Lugard of the Southern and Northern Protectorate, God, knowing what he had prophesied in the book of Isaiah as well as in Zephaniah, created — the nation didn't exist before — created a nation that the rivers divide from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, and named it after the river. That's why we are called Nigeria, the area around the Niger. And that was the first part of our prophetic fulfillment. Then when independence came, and they declared independence in 1960, they gave us independence October 1. It falls smack in the season of the Feast of Tabernacles. Because God knew that Nigeria was going to be one of the first nations to fulfill the church in it, to fulfill the Feast of Tabernacles, that will now usher Nigeria into our prophetic destiny. You are living in a cutting edge prophetic time. Glory be to God. And so we are now, as I am speaking, you know, I like the way the Lord Jesus said it. He said, the hour is coming and now is. And I'm saying it in the same way. The hour is coming and now is. The fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles is crucial to the fulfillment of Nigeria's prophetic destiny. Because it is in the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, firstly, the perfecting of the love of God, like I've explained. Then, when that is in place, God will now He will now manifest the power of the Spirit without measure. That will not just be tasting of the powers of the age to come. It will be a demonstration of the powers of the age to come. It will demonstrate the glory of God. And the purpose of the demonstration of the glory of God is to deliver creation from the bondage of corruption. And that deliverance will be a witness to all nations. The Bible says, the glory of the Lord will be seen upon thee, and all flesh shall see it together. It must be a demonstration, not a taste. Not just a taste, which we have with Pentecost, but it's going to be a demonstration to principalities and powers, to all nations. They say, there is a people on the earth. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, there will be a people on the earth that will show demonstrate two things. Three, they will demonstrate the wisdom of God as has never been seen before in the ability of the mind of Christ. Then they will demonstrate the character of God in righteousness, purity, and in holiness. Then they will demonstrate the power of God as has never been seen before. Hallelujah. And that's what we're living in now. Hence, this present prophetic word for us on this threshold of the anniversary of our 50th Independence Day, right at the tail end of the Feast of Tabernacles. I do not believe it's an accident. And it falls today on a Sunday when we'll be gathered. God knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. And so, in this prophetic teaching, I want to bring out these things. So this is what is happening now. We are demonstrating, or we are to demonstrate, the powers of the age to come as a witness to all nations, and so make disciples out of every nation. When we say nation, now let me say it in a simpler way. Every tribe. The Greek word is ethnos. Every tribe, tongue, and kindred. There must be a crop of disciples taken from every tribe, tongue, and kindred before the end shall come. And I emphasize, I said this on Wednesday, you know, the word disciples. I'm not talking about converts alone. I'm not just talking about believers. There will be believers, there will be converts. Every disciple is a believer and a convert. But not every convert and believer is a disciple. The word disciple comes from the root word discipline. These disciples will do all that they have been taught. The great commission that the Lord Jesus Christ gave the church was not just a commission of evangelism. We water it down. We don't say, oh, it's just that, you know, we evangelize the whole world. No. Evangelism is a first step necessary to bring them in. But that's not where he stopped. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them some. No. All. What does it mean? All. You teach them everything. From baby Christian to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are going to have disciples out of every nation. We will have disciples, Chinese disciples. We'll have American disciples. We'll have Japanese disciples. We'll have disciples from Saudi Arabia. We're going to have disciples from Iran, from Iraq, from Afghanistan. Born again, spirit filled, tongue talking, perfection Christians. Hallelujah. That will demonstrate the glory of God to their own people. And Nigerian disciples. And I'm looking at some of them this afternoon. Give yourselves a clap offering. Nigerian disciples. Hallelujah. Not just Nigerian believers. Not just Nigerian Christians. Nigerian disciples. Like mommy was saying, you know, when she was talking, you know, about attention, 3 o'clock in the morning, get up and pray. That's a disciple. That's the discipline of Christ. What did Jesus do? A great while before the day, he would get up and pray. Then the Bible tells us he didn't just not does this, what do I call the headache prayer? You know, this beans and garri prayer. God forgive me. You know, well, I said that in a joking kind of way. You know, it's not just this, you know, Mickey Mouse prayer. No. The Bible, I love the scriptures because it's very, very specific. He says, who in the days of his flesh, he told you how he prayed, offered up prayers and supplication. How? With strong crying and tears, and was heard in that he feared. That's the kind of prayer we're talking about. That is the prayer of the disciple. The Mickey Mouse prayer is the prayer of the other people. Those ones are not disciples. Because they have refused to submit themselves to that discipline. The discipline of getting up early in the morning. The discipline of fasting. The discipline of praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. With groanings, strong crying and tears. The discipline of self-denial. The discipline of taking up their cross daily. That's what we mean by disciples. Now you can appreciate what my wife said earlier on. And everything just dovetails. She didn't even know what I was going to preach. You know? And it is this. It is the refusal to do those disciplines that is the wickedness. It's the wickedness. What is wickedness? As far as God is concerned, is in Psalm 50. I think it's verse 14 or 16. He says, what has the wicked to do? Taking my covenant into your mouth. Seeing that you hate instruction and you cast my words behind you. So they said, get the discipline of Christ. No, I don't want that. I'm not going to get up early in the morning. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to pray strong crying and tears. I'm not going to, I'm not enjoying all that. That's it. Wickedness. That's what he meant. Let's keep it in the Bible context. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Do you get that word seek? Everybody say seek. 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 You're not getting it. Seek. 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 What does seek mean? You're looking for something. You're looking for something. I preached this some years ago. Ask, seek, and knock. See, when you ask for something, you just asked. You haven't started seeking. There's a difference between asking and seeking. Most people just ask. Most Christians ask and stop. And then they're expecting something to happen. No, you must move on to seek. That's where praying in the spirit comes. When you're praying in the spirit, you're praying, speaking mysteries in the spirit. And so what you're actually doing is that in the spirit realm, you're looking. You're seeking. And you will not stop until you find. It's only disciples that can seek. The ordinary believer stops at asking. The disciple moves from asking to seeking. And then from seeking to knocking. You seek by praying in the spirit. You knock by walking in love. That's what opens the door. Because it is when you walk in love, you will now receive. He says, if any man, I didn't get there today, you know. He says, this is the reason why we receive. Because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing. That's the knocking. You knock and you put the door down. And then you get the thing. Am I talking to anybody here? This is disciple territory. You see, I'm going to repeat what I said. Majority of Christians, sadly, are not disciples. They're Christians. They're believers. They will go to heaven. Because the condition of going to heaven is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But they will suffer loss. They will not inherit and carry the glory. The glory is reserved for disciples. It's not for just the ordinary Christian. And that's why God is looking. And now he's gotten a bunch of disciples. There are people who are getting up early now. And they are fasting. And they are praying. And they're not doing it only when they have emergency and problem. It's not daily. Which is what he said. He said, take up thy cross daily. So the thing has, the complexion, the spiritual complexion has changed. And therefore now the atmosphere that is required for the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles is now in place. That's why we have to continue. The Bible says, watch this. The Lord whom you seek, not ask for, he says, shall suddenly come to his temple. Hallelujah. And when he comes, he's going to come as a refining fire. Watch this. The Lord said this to me. There'll be fire on the inside and glory on the outside. I'm going to say it again. Everybody say, fire on the inside and glory on the outside. You see, when we got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the initial evidence was speaking in tongues. This one, when it comes, the evidence will be the refining of your soul and your body on the inside. There will be a fire inside you. And you know what? Because of that fire, your love can never wax cold. Amen. Hallelujah. You will be like Jesus. You know why? When people see you, your eyes will be like a flame of fire. You know why? There's fire on the inside. The fire will show in your eyes. The fire will show in your hands. Fire on the inside, glory on the outside. You touch the sick, they will recover. You touch the leper, he will be cleansed. You speak to the dead, they will be raised. Hallelujah. Because they will be responding to the glory that is permanently abiding on you. Because you have not just been baptized with the Holy Ghost, you got that as the gift in Pentecost, but in tabernacles you will not be baptized with fire. The Pentecostal baptism was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Feast of Tabernacles is the baptism of fire. Fire inside, glory outside. And all flesh shall see it together. It cannot be hid. Like they said in the Acts of the Apostles, this thing was not done in a corner. This thing was not done in a corner. I'm going to close with three scriptures that show us the timeline. Let me just check my notes. All this came by revelation and I have written it down. You know, you have to capture these thoughts. If you don't capture it, the thing will just go. Even you who got the revelation, you'll be able to remember. That's why in the Old Testament, notice the prophets always had a pen. And he said, son of man, write. Because if he doesn't write it down, because it's not him. But since it is God, and it's not him, it didn't come from the prophet, it came from God. He has to quickly write it down. Because it is God's thoughts, not my thoughts. And I find out in my own something. When I'm praying, once I start getting a thought pattern, I get my pen. And I have to start writing it down. Because if I don't quickly capture it, I will lose some details. It's part of the discipline. Hallelujah. The Lord is going to come suddenly in us. Let's start from Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to give you three scriptures. These three scriptures define and describe the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles and how the Lord is going to come now. And I'm expecting it any minute now. Literally any minute now. I thank God for the forum God has created. Because you see, for years we've been looking for a group of people who will disappear. You know, we've been preaching get up early in the morning. And I know some people have been doing it sporadically here and there. But now with this kind of forum, we have a constant group of people who are actually, it's not that I told Pastor, you're actually there. And it has all of the right ingredients. The ingredients is, you know, the fruit, the love, the armor of love, the life of God. You put on the, and then you now pray in the spirit. And the primary thrust of the prayer is, thy kingdom come. That's what God's been looking for. There have been people pray all over the whole place. People pray, you know, but people, they dilute the prayers. Most of the prayers just talk. 1 hour prayer is 45 minutes talk, 5 minutes tongues, and 10 minutes of worship. It's not wrong. It's just that, it's, you know, you want the thing to have quality. Fire! Power! Then when you have 200, 400, 500 of them like that, and it's consistent, then you're going to have an exponential increase. One will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000. Then what will three do? 100,000. So it's not extrapolated up to 100. You're 100, 200. You're going to get an explosion. In mathematics, we say it blows up. It's a function that blows up. That's exactly what we want it to do. Blow up into the glory of God. So don't stop. Hallelujah. It's very significant. God, Jesus, I wasn't the one. It was Jesus. He said, go and stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. The only people that partook of the initial glory that came were all those that were faithful to be in the upper room. 500 were told to stay in the upper room. Only 120 were found there. What happened to the remaining 380? I married a wife. I bought a piece of land. I have 5 yoke of oxen. They all made excuse. Alone, Shanu. I want you to think deeply about what I'm about to say. Because unless you meditate and you think on the reality of the scripture, the reality of scripture many times eludes us. Because we just read it like a book, like a storybook. You understand? In your mindset, I'm going to get to the scriptures and we'll close in a minute. In your mindset, go back, rewind to 2,000 years ago. Imagine yourself amongst the apostles, Peter, James, John, all of them. Your master has just been killed. You don't even know if the Romans are going to come and arrest you too. Everybody's afraid. They were so afraid, Peter denied his Lord that he walked with for 3 years. He denied him 3 times because he saw what was going to happen. And that maybe they would just arrest him and meet the same treatment to him that they did to Jesus. Pilate and the scribes and the Caiaphas and others, they were breathing brimstone and fire to look for those disciples and deal with all of them. So they all went to hide. All of them. All of them. Peter denied, ran away, then Mark, and John, all of them. So they huddled themselves in one little room, and they were all afraid. They were all afraid. Everybody was, what's going to happen to us now? Is this the end? Jesus had told them he was going to be raised from the dead. But just like many of you don't believe the glory is going to happen, they too didn't believe he was going to be raised from the dead. Same mindset. It's as difficult for many of you to believe in some of these things we've been preaching about the glory of God, the ability of the mind of Christ, as it was for them to believe Jesus was going to be raised from the dead. But the scripture said so. So what happens? They huddle themselves in that place. They're all, afraid and everything. And Jesus appears to them. He comes through the wall in his glorified body. They're all afraid. He said, chill. This will be 2018 translation. He said, chill, guys. He said, it's me. It's not some ethereal universal mind that is wandering somewhere in the cosmos. Oh God. It's real, man. Reality. It's me. Let's see. See my hands. They saw all the wounds of the crucifixion. See my legs. See my side. You guys don't show, but give me a honeycomb. Give me some fish. Yet it before them. It's me. He said, now, we've got business to do. All right, boys. Okay? Now, I want you to stay in Jerusalem. I told you I was going to be raised from the dead, and here I am. Now, you're going to stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And I'm going to be coming periodically to tell you boys a few things about the prophetic scriptures. So over the next 40 days, he comes in. Take your mind back to that time. Jesus will come in. He will teach them. Teach from Joel. Teach from Zechariah. Teach from some of the scriptures I'm going to give you. Teach from Malachi. Teach, from Hosea. All these prophetic scriptures. This is what he did to two guys on the road to Ephesus. The Bible says he opened up the scriptures. Then starting from Moses, he preached and the prophets, he showed them all the things that was concerning them. They have been hearing it for 3 years, but they never got it. Anyway, so this goes on, and there were 500 brethren. It was just, can you imagine, put yourself in that position. You've been hearing, and you saw this man raised from the dead. Picked all of you, had a whole prophetic seminar for 500 people. I said, now, boys, everybody, stay in Jerusalem, stay together, keep praying, and I'm going to visit you. That's it, brief translation, until you be endued with power from on high. And on the day of ascension, they see him, some angels, and they just see him float. Gravitate, hallelujah, levitate. He just, and he disappears. They go back to the temple and they do what he said. They start meeting every day in the upper room. I'm sure the initial room number was 500. 3-4 days, no glory, no manifestation. Boys, I bought a piece of land. I need to go and check it out. This other one, I married a wife. This other one, 5 yoke of oxen. Everybody starts going about their business, and they did not continue in what he said. But there was 120. Oh, kasheleme. Honey, the scriptures are wonderful. Do you know that is exactly 120 priests that were in the temple of Solomon? Not in Pentecost, but on the Feast of Tabernacles. And they blew trumpets. And then the glory of God visited them. It's exactly what's happening now. It was 120. It's amazing. I'm sure they didn't plan it to be 120. In fact, if you go and read the Acts of Apostles, about because it's a shadow. The 120 is a shadow. The actual substance, maybe it was 121, maybe it was 125, maybe it's 119. You know, we don't know. The Bible says it was about 120. But a God, knowing that the scripture will be fulfilled, once he got his critical mass of 120, the glory came. They kept making excuses. And only God knows what happened to the other 380. But the sad news is that they just weren't there. So when the Holy Ghost came down from heaven, and boom, they were not there to be partakers. At least they were not partakers of the first fruits. Some of them probably partook later on. Some of them probably never partook of. Hence this prophetic message. So three scriptures. Number one, the Lord whom you seek, Malachi chapter 3 verses 1 to 3 says, behold, I send my messenger. That's a prophetic messenger. He shall prepare what I'm doing now, the way before me. All this preparation, you know, the armor of love, life scriptures, tongues, groaning, travail, all this preparation. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly, just like Pentecost, the first visitation was sudden, this one for tabernacles will also be sudden. It will be sudden. And how is it going to happen? Shall suddenly come to his temple. Who is the temple of God? Everybody give me a wave. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you know your temple of God? Your soul is the temple of God. Your body is the temple of God, because the Holy Spirit indwells it. Say, he's coming to his temple. He's coming to you. He's coming in you. He's in you already, but he's not in you in fullness. He's not in you in fire. He's not in you in glory. Even the messenger of the covenant, notice there are two messengers. One is a prophetic messenger, the other one is an apostolic messenger. Of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 2. Who may abide the day of his coming? Who will stand when he appeareth? For he is like a what? Everybody say, fire on the inside. Say, when the fire comes, it's going to refine me. It will refine my mind. It will refine my will. It will refine my emotions. It will refine my body and renew my youth like the eagles. So I'll be like Caleb at 85. Give the Lord a clap offering. You know, just like when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, this is Pentecost, I'm talking about tabernacles now, but when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, how did you know you got it? You spoke in tongues, right? When this one comes, how will you know you get it? You will be refined on the inside. It will come as a fire on the inside. It will, you yourself will know. Ah! Glory to God. Hallelujah. A refined as fire, full as of all the last love of sin will be burnt up. Your eyes, holiness unto the Lord, your eyes will be like a flame of fire. You will truly love righteousness and hate iniquity. You won't be hating iniquity because the pastor is trying to persuade you. You will hate iniquity. And therefore God, even thy God, will anoint thee with the power of the Spirit without measure. That's why it will be fire on the inside and glory on the outside. I don't know if I've helped anybody here. Hallelujah. Third verse. Hallelujah. And he shall sit. I didn't hear you. Who is he? God. He's talking about God. As a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And I don't want to get in all of that. It just means your prayer and your praise and your worship will become pure. We thank God for what we have now, but you become so pure. We haven't seen prophetic worship. Somebody has prophesied that Nigeria is going to experience prophetic worship before the next elections. And I understand now that it's going to be a fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. When we put glory into this land, they will elect, they will vote properly. Hallelujah. The power of God will sweep entire cities, entire states. Hallelujah. And men will not vote as people bribe them to vote. They will vote as God tells them to vote. Oh, this fulfillment is a necessary prerequisite for Nigeria to fulfill her prophetic destiny. So people have all been preaching it in bits and pieces. But what, by the mercy and the grace of God, I'm giving you the whole counsel of God. It is the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, the demonstration of the powers of the age to come that will change Nigeria. And people all over the world say, if Nigeria can change, anybody can change. So all the other nations will start coming to the brightness of our rising. Woo! Glory be to God. Next verse. Glory be to God. Now go to Hosea chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. These three scriptures describe the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. This is number 2. After 2 days, he will revive us. See, 2 days there represents about 2,000 years. And that's already happened. Revive just means he will give life to us. We begin to understand the life of God, cleansing perfection, you know. But then he said something. He says, and in the third day, he will raise us up. So it's different from the, he will give life, he will revive us. So what's it? The revival is internal, cleansing, perfection. The raising up is manifestation of glory. That's the one that is going to make everybody see us. He says, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto you. Hallelujah. And then we will live in his sight. Then the next verse now comes. It now makes sense. Then after we have been raised up, shall we know as we follow on to know the Lord. Who are people going to follow? They will follow as we follow Christ. When they see us doing exactly what Jesus did, they will follow. Hallelujah. And he's going forth. He's prepared as the morning. That's ancient King James. If you look at it in the modern translation, I think in New International Version, he says, this thing I'm talking about is as certain as the morning. It's certain. Hallelujah. Give it to me. Thank you. Give it to me in the New International. Thank you. He says, as surely, I didn't hear you. As surely as the sun rises, God is going to raise us up in his glory. And men in the church, people, you see, there are people in the church who are good people. They have good hearts, but they've been confused by wrong leadership and wrong teaching. But when they see the glory, say, this is our God. We have waited for him. They will follow it. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Hallelujah. And he will come unto us as the former and the latter rain. Go back to King James. He's talking about complete teaching. They're not only going to be teaching former rain, get born again, get filled with the Holy Spirit, healing and deliverance. They're going to teach, get born again, get filled with the Holy Spirit, healing, deliverance, perfection. That's former and latter rain together. Now, jump now, last scripture, and I close. Joel chapter 2. Am I talking to anybody here? Joel chapter 2, and look at verse 23. Be glad then. Be glad then. Ask your neighbor, when is then? Say, then is now. Be glad then, you children of Zion. And what? Rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you what? The former rain moderately. We've been born again. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit. But he will cause to come down for you the rain. The what? The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And that translation says, as at the beginning. It's going to be a manifestation. The former and the latter rain together. Next verse. Hello, somebody. Next verse, and the floors, this is the ingathering, this is the fruit, and the floors shall be full of what? Wheat, and the fat will overflow with what? Wine and oil. Next verse, glory, and I will restore to you the years, all these 2,000 years, that the canker locust has eaten, and the canker worm and the caterpillar worm, and my palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Verse 26. And you shall what? Eat in plenty. Isaiah 25. I will make a feast of fat things. People will be coming to church, not just for miracles. Miracles will be common. Miracles are going to be as common as tongues is now. See how tongues is common now? Things like healing cancer will be as common as tongues. The fire, the glory on the outside. We heal the sick. Because of the fire, when you just touch it like this, the fire will go inside the body. We heal the cancer. Are you listening to me? Then they will cleanse the lepers. People with, you know, withered hands. You know, people born lame from his mother's womb. The leg is like this. The hand is twisted and everything. You just touch them. The thing will straighten out immediately in front of everybody. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! This is the glory of God that's going to be made manifest. And that was, this ones I'm talking about, the healing of the sick, the cleansing of the lepers, will be common among little children. Spiritual little children. That's what you won't be able to make money from it anymore. You know why? Supply will outstrip demand. The price will fall. You can't make money out of it anymore. Because they don't have to come to your camp meeting and give you money and anointing oil. Because that little boy down the road will lay hands on them and they'll get healed. This is what's coming. Hallelujah. And then the more spiritual, the more mature ones will raise the dead. Raising the dead will also be common. Don't be asked. You know, even though tongues is common now, how many people know that not everybody speaks in tongues? As common as tongues is now, you go to most churches, you find a lot of people don't even speak in tongues. Even though it's common, that's how it's going to be with the miracles. It will be common, but it will not be everybody. It will only be the disciples. It will only be the disciples. I'm not talking to anybody. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. And he has dealt what? Wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. God is going to remove our shame. The shame of the Lord. And from now till the end of the age, we will never be ashamed. Hallelujah. The glory will remove the shame. Last verse. Hallelujah. Last verse. And you shall know. Turn to your neighbor and say, you shall know. You won't think so. You will know by the manifestation. You will know by the fire inside and the glory outside. You will know. And you shall know that I am the midst of Israel, the church, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. Then he repeats it again. He says it twice. Remember Joseph? He said he had doubled it twice. He said the dream is sure and the interpretation is certain. My people shall never be ashamed. Stand to your feet.
Can you ministers, please, can you help me bring the flag? Yeah. This is the house of the Lord. I remember that night. Masote. Hey, that Sunday. The night of that day did not pass before the Lord delivered us. And it was the presbytery and the church that prayed in the house of the Lord. I'm talking about the time when Abacha, we can never forget it, that it was a Sunday going on to Monday. We all came and joined together. This is another season. Hallelujah. With the Koto Sota Katabasa. I stand as one under authority. Mate Sakote Kete Debasata. Oh, Rabas. Honey, please. Honey. Lord, I stand in the name of Jesus as one under authority of the said Father of the house. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Matusatekate. And under the Lordship of Jesus, the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. Mate katosatakato batabatabatakite kotasata. Mikatosate matokata matonde katokate katokatabata. Mita sute katokatosite katosata. Ratokatamatabatomatashi katokatakataka. katosata. Rika tosato katoba tosatakata. Meka tosake batosato katosato. If I need intercessor, do I have to talk to you? If you're a man child, do I have to talk to you? Please, everybody, point your hands to us. Don't be a spectator. Children, there, point your hands forward. Mata, point your hands towards the flag. Mateka sotakata. Point your hands towards the flag. Mate sato kato batasata. Malika sata kato sata. Mikatosa, please, point your hands. Rato. Touch somebody in the crowd. Touch somebody. Everybody stay connected. Children, hold hands. Everybody join hands together. Let there be no break. Join hands. Lord appeared to Solomon by night. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. I remember that years ago, when this house was finished, the Lord said to us that I've heard thy prayer and I've chosen this place for myself on a house of sacrifice. And we have seen the Lord answer so many prayers, even internationally. Decrees have gone forth from this house, from this tabernacle, that has affected and shaped nations. So we know that the eye of the Lord is intent upon this place, that he truly has chosen this place for himself as a house of sacrifice. Therefore we come together in unity as one under the authority of the said Father, under the Lordship of Jesus, the Shepherd and the Bishop of our souls. I bow our hearts. We bow our hearts. We bow our knees. We bow our all before God in the exalted name of Jesus. Oh, by the blood of the Lamb, first of all, sanctifying every vessel by the blood of the Lamb and sanctifying the altar, that this altar this day may be unto the Lord, altar most holy, in the name of Jesus. Lord, now we thank you, for we know you have chosen and sanctified this house, that your name may be there forever, and your eyes and your heart shall be there perpetually, that your mercy perpetual and your light perpetual will shine upon this house, this altar, scripture, pastor. Now your eyes are open and your ears are intent unto the prayers that is made in this place. So we thank you, because we, your people, we are called by your name. Therefore we say, Lord, we agree in unison by the blood of the Lamb to confess our sins, to humble ourselves. Oh God, we come to decree in unity that we humble ourselves. Oh God, we humble ourselves and we pray. We seek of your face and we turn from our wicked ways. Lord, you will hear us from heaven. You forgive our sins and you will heal our land, even in this auspicious moment, even in this third day that you are raising us up. Thank you, O God, because you will give us an answer of peace in the name of Jesus. Rekataka, thank you for open heavens, O Lord.
Nea shaketo frenes lepranas. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We stand on the authority of your word. We say we are your people. We say we are called by your name. We humble ourselves. We pray. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked ways. And therefore, Father, we ask you to look down from heaven. Hear from heaven. Forgive our sins and the sins of our people of this land. Heal Nigeria.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Nekala mashala protofenes. La prikatofenes. La prikatofenes. Lo prenamashala. Lo fridiga sho. Yakito fredeles. Lo predela mashala. Ni prides. Tolomata. Ne prikatosku frides. Lo predesh. Lambra kasu. Nepra. Lo prikatu. Lambra kash tolomashala. Leprina, no programa tolomashu, tolomaga gagama tolomagagama tolomash, tolomashu fride freshe, nombre, lapreka tolomaga gagama tolomash, lapreka gagama tolomash, tolomato fride shala, yikoto fres, no fris, no frides, nombre des, solo frides, no frides, nongras, to fish, nombre gagama tolomash, nombre gagama tolomash, to fish, tolomas, to fres, nombre des. Tolomas, Tolos, Tufes, Tufre, Nombras, Jelly, Yiko, Frena, Nofe, Lepridos, Kofre. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because we know you have heard this prayer. And we will see the manifestation thereof. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Be here tomorrow, 10 o'clock. With fasting, everybody be here tomorrow, 10 o'clock fasting. We're going to continue our intercession. It's going to be the two phases are for Nigeria, not for anything else. Special prayer for this nation. With the prophetic word that has gone forth, as we pray, things are going to happen. Join hands with somebody. Mommy, come, let's do the, you can take the flag back. Let's take the benediction. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the ladder of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live. I say you will live. And you will not die. You will live and you will declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life for God satisfy you. And show you his salvation. Even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not only a believer, I am a disciple. God bless you. See you tomorrow at 10.